Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
Hi, welcome to another episode of Study, Grow, Know. Today we're talking about the evil twins. In his recently published book, The Evil Twins of Technocracy and Transhumanism, Patrick M. Wood outlines the process that has been used by technocrats throughout the years to create a new economic system based solely on scientism, not actual science. In other words, it sounds scientific, but it isn't. Wood includes plenty of factual details related to exactly how technocrat globalists have taken control over and manipulated the existing economic system for themselves and where they are going with it. It's quite a feat they've pulled off, but unfortunately for us, Wood notes that they are on the cusp of completing what they set out to do since 1932, when the first group of technocrats got together in America at Columbia University, probably the most progressive university in this land. Wood gives us plenty of specifics related to what and how technocrats think and manipulate. There are a few decades when the technocrats were stymied after 1932 because the president of the university then said no more technocracy, but things picked back up again with the release of Zbigniew Brzezinski's book Between Two Ages, America's Role in the Technotronic Era. Now, Brzezinski chose the word technotronic instead of technocracy, though he meant the latter with the use of it. Since he was then teaching at Columbia University, he was under certain constraints because of the president at that time. But notice, it didn't stop him from continuing to push the concept and teaching of technocracy. So Brzezinski's book eventually came to the attention of David Rockefeller, who was also seeking ways to gain dominance over the entire planet's economic system, not just America's. He was already a mega millionaire, but that wasn't enough, of course. He, like numerous other people throughout the world, sought a better economic system for themselves, and ultimately one that they would be in full charge of and control. Now, Rockefeller and Brzezinski then got together to form the Trilateral Commission in 1973. This was a think tank of hand-picked world leaders and specialists who had the same goals: ultimately take over the world and control every aspect of it. Patrick Wood, very early on during those years, began writing about this group of globalists. So nearly 100 years ago, technocracy began in the USA at Columbia University. Brought forward in the 1970s by the Trilateral Commission, it became firmly ensconced in the behind-the-scenes efforts to completely destroy the existing economies, replacing them with something else entirely, one that fully benefits the elite as they literally, honestly, steal from the rest of the populace. This new technocracy is what Klaus Schwab lovingly calls sustainable development or stakeholder capitalism, but they're simply terms for technocracy. Reading through Wood's book tells me we may be, in fact, too late to do anything about technocracy. For decades, these globalist, unelected technocrats, bureaucrats really, have been ignored by the press. No one heard anything about what they were planning. It's only been since the CV situation that they have stepped forward out of the shadows and anonymity to announce what they say needs to occur, and they're constantly talking about new things. Since that time, they haven't stopped being public about their goals, their aspirations, which is proof to me that they are extremely confident of where they've gotten the world to. They're comfortable and they're sure in their arrogance. They don't care if we know who they, at least some of them, are, and they seem particularly delighted that we are concerned and want nothing to do with them and their plans. You've no doubt noticed since COVID in 2020, life and attitudes and outlook has changed drastically throughout the world. Families were emotionally torn apart over whether or not to get the jab and what to do about other family members who did not get it. Well, the same applies to those who wore masks, fully believing the lies that a mask would stop COVID transmission or at least seriously reduce the chances of it. In other words, CV and everything that came to the world because of it was intended as a major change agent in society. It was absolutely huge, and Wood explains exactly why that was the case in his book. You'll note I've included an image of Yuval Noah Harari in the transcript, and he talks about how important COVID was to global society. He arrogantly asserts that their new global order will come to fruition. And certainly the big goal of the technocrats is to, quote, monitor and analyze the brains of all the population all the time, unquote. Now, though Harari is referred to as a WEF advisor, in reality, he is simply another technocrat in league with Schwab and others to force this world to the WEF's dream world, their utopia. It's not going to be utopia for us. It's going to be utopia for them. Now, this feat will take AI and the computing power that is built on it in order to analyze, categorize, and store all that information. It's what they've been doing in China for years. Now it's ready to be rolled out to the rest of the world. Ultimately, what's coming is the worst totalitarian regime in history. And they seem very proud of that. Now, I know that what I'm talking about seems like conspiracy theory to many, but the reality is this. It is either true or maybe it is conspiracy theory, but all we need to do is look at what's happening in society to really answer that question. But more than that, there is a specific 300-page technocracy study course that Wood cites in his book numerous times. And in it, we learn how technocrats view people on this earth. We're not good. And the events that they cause to occur for change. This course came out of the Technocracy Study Group from the 1930s. And here's what Wood says about that course. Quote, the technocrats knew that gears, belts, and motors were easy to design and control, but that unpredictable humans needed social engineering to keep them in line with the grand vision of technocracy. Unquote. Now, Wood also quotes from the actual study course when he says this, quote, leave the physical environment unaltered or the industrial rates of operation unchanged, and any effort to alter the fundamental modes of behavior of human beings is doomed largely to failure. Alter the immediate physical environment of human beings, and their modes of behavior change automatically. That's from page 243 of the study. Unquote. Now, that's what CV did. It altered the immediate physical environment, and many to most reacted exactly the way technocrats expected, by cowering in fear of a virus that is simply like the flu. Unfortunately for technocrats, they got many to most to cave to that fear. A growing number of people today, though, reject what they did, what occurred during the days of CV. Wood continues, and he says, quote, from 2020 through the time of this writing, referring to his book, in mid-2022, the world has been turned upside down with a parade of social engineering events designed to create conditions for control that will allow the Great Reset to take place. A COVID-19 panic, mRNA, quote-unquote, vaccine injections, energy crisis, soaring gasoline prices, inflation, food and water shortages, a housing crisis, a financial crisis, etc. All of these events were foreshadowed by the original technocrats who predicted the largest social engineering project in history, unquote. Now, because of COVID, global society lost their ability to control their own lives. Most of the world was under specific lockdown instructions. In my area, you had to have a note from your employer if you were driving and stopped by police during the lockdown at certain hours at the nighttime. So after certain hours, if you didn't have that note, you can get in trouble. Now, beyond this, just about everywhere you went, you had to mask up, social distance, and or stay home as much as possible. That was the preferred thing they wanted us to do. I still find it amazing that during that lockdown period, liquor stores and strip clubs remained open, along with grocery, big box stores, and BLM protests. Yet churches were forced to close. We were told that it was way too dangerous to congregate with so many people in close proximity, even if we wore masks. And having the audacity to actually sing while together? Oh, the horrors. But Wood notes that Christianity, specifically, is on the chopping block. Technocrats ridicule it and have done their best to purge it from society. He says this, quote, "Technocracy was heavily dependent on the evolutionary theories of Darwin and reflected the general criticism of the Bible that was in full swing during the early 1900s. As the Technocracy Study Course put it, the picture of supernaturalism of many and the special creations received a final thrust when, in 1859, Charles Darwin issued his book, Origin of the Species. Technocrats specifically excluded biblical Christianity as a source of truth. They ignored it, cast it off. Viewing Darwin, however, as inerrant, they mockingly wrote that Christian principles were handed down from a primitive and ignorant people of the past. They reasoned that Christianity had been defeated, that Christians were far removed from the pedestal upon which they had originally imagined themselves to be, and that at last they were obliged to admit blood kinship with other members of the animal kingdom." Unquote. So we Christians are ignoramuses, stupid. We believe in superstitious nonsense that has no basis in fact, according to technocrats. Humans don't have souls, they say. So there is nothing redeemable about us spiritually. We are merely biomass that dissolves and goes back into the earth after we die. Any system that does not agree or work with technocracy must be defeated. So a question, why is Islam seemingly ignored? With Muslims being shipped from all over the world to Western societies, including America. Simple. Muslims are being used by technocrats to foment civil strife and wars wherever they go. Once they have served their purpose, Muslims will be dealt with by these same technocrats. Right now, Islamists are blind to the purposes of the technocrats. They think what they're doing is blessed by Allah. Ultimately, they are considered cannon fodder. Now, since 1932, technocrats began taking control of many areas. They already had the financial institutions, so they looked to the total net conversion of energy, which continues in earnest today. Did they do this because they actually believe in climate change? No, I don't think so. They've done it because it gives them control over the energy availability and usage to society. They reason that too much available energy leads to things like uncontrollable economic activity. Oh no, people might succeed, states Woods. A good thing for the average person if they have uncontrollable economic activity. That's always a good thing. This is one of the big reasons we have smart meters today, folks, which allows the electric company to view our usage from their offices instead of having to send a person out to read your meter. Saves them time, saves them people who work there, and manpower. It also allows them, by the way, to shut down our electricity from their offices, or as they do in California routinely, do rolling brownouts. Customers are at the mercy of the electric companies. Do you have a backup source? Do you have a backup source that'll tide you over for at least a while? Technocrats ultimately want energy conserved for themselves. And that's the other part of this picture, by the way. The real reason we all have smart meters connected to our homes is, quote, that meters are able to identify, connect with, monitor, and report the usage of each energy-consuming device inside a building and can control each device through the manufacturer's installation of a special circuit board designed for such purposes, unquote. So whether it's a washing machine, dryer, refrigerator, or something else, all of them can be temporarily or permanently shut off by the electric company because of the smart appliances, the certified circuit board specifically installed in each smart appliance. Now, on a related note, investigative journalist Whitney Webb has done much research into Bitcoin and BlackRock. Among other things, she has numerous videos available that help the average person understand what's going on in the world of finance and currency. Here's a quote. BlackRock Incorporated is an American multinational investment company. It is the world's largest asset manager with $10 trillion in assets as of December 31st, 2023. That's from Wikipedia. Now, BlackRock CEO Larry Fink seems to have the same mindset as other technocrats, because he is one of them, that ultimately wants to take the average person, whatever they have, and make it part of BlackRock's portfolio. I suggest for anyone who wants to be educated on this subject to view some of Whitney Webb's interviews about how Fink is now pushing BlackRock's own cryptocurrency. Oh, and to hear him tell it, oh yes, it's safe and convenient for investors. That would be you and I. Where have we heard that before? Well, during the Great Depression, everyone was playing the stock market. They thought it could never lose. And they thought they'd never lose. They thought they'd just become unimaginably wealthy. Well, unfortunately, the only ones who won and became rich or richer were the people at the top of the pyramid. The new money coming in at the bottom from regular people was simply used to prop up the debt of those at the top. Then those people at the top pulled out of the stock market at pretty much the same time, becoming seriously wealthy. Oh, the rest? They lost everything. BlackRock wants people to invest in their cryptocurrency. It's easier than creating a new digital currency. Now, if Fink can successfully entice people into investing in his crypto, he stands to make even more money once, or if, shouldn't even be if, once the bottom falls out, leaving investors with nothing. Bitcoin is one thing. BlackRock's new crypto is probably best avoided, but I would suggest you talk with your own financial advisor on that score and see what they have to say for you. It's not that easy figuring it out. BlackRock's new crypto is probably, and I'll say it again, best avoided. Things are moving up very quickly, as seen by yet another country that has decided to force its population to go with biometric digital IDs. In fact, if you read the article, you'll learn that this country, Nepal, has decided to mark people from birth. And by the way, all these links, all this information, I've got links in the transcript for you to avail yourself and check those out and do some more research. Years ago, in the United States, you had to apply for a Social Security number when you reached a certain age in the USA. Usually that was about the time you were looking for a job. That eventually changed. Assigning numbers to newly born children was automatic. Nepal is taking it one step further by assigning a digital number to each person, and they'll eventually be given smart cards, which will likely give way eventually to completely digital IDs and be tied to some type of digital passport or wallet. All electronic. I recently read also that technocrats are now starting to push for restrictions on urban and backyard gardening. They say it creates too much carbon. You know, this world could not exist without carbon. But unfortunately, technocrats think otherwise, and they want us to think otherwise. Net zero carbon cannot be achieved without negatively impacting the world to a serious degree. More and more true thinkers and scientists are coming out to expose the fallacies of climate change. Wood notes that he believes the new global order is already in place, referring to remarks made by Brett Weinstein in his interview with Tucker Carlson not long ago. We're simply waiting for the technocrats to turn the key. Whitney Webb also believes later this year, 2024, a catastrophic event or events will occur that will destroy the economy and force everyone to accept what the technocrats, quote unquote, offer, including maybe their universal basic income. All of this is being constructed right under our noses. And let's remember, though, God is fully in charge here. And what comes to pass only does so because he allows it for his purposes. Please understand, my intentions with these articles are not to scare people. I am simply trying to educate and give people information to start them journeying through the research process. All of what is happening throughout global society should create concern in us, but it should also throw us on the strong shoulders of our Lord as well, so that we can come boldly before the throne of grace. We need to depend on him daily and not react like the Israelites did throughout the book of Judges. We're going to talk about the cycle that they lived in an upcoming article. Without difficulties, we would never or rarely lean on the Lord. And the Israelites proved that. When things were going fine, they didn't need God. So what we can glean from these difficulties that are here and what are coming is that it should force us that much more onto the Lord. Now, as more technocracy comes to the surface, I'm becoming increasingly aware of the fact that we Christians must begin looking beyond this physical life to eternity. We need to begin focusing in earnest on the grace to be given to us at the revealing of Jesus, 1 Peter 1:13 through 15. That takes practice. Here's what it says. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's at his physical return. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Words from Peter. And honestly, it's time, folks. It is time for Christians to start depending seriously and thoroughly on our Lord. Thanks so much for joining me today, and I hope and pray until we meet again that the Lord would open your eyes to the reality that we live in and bless you according to your faith in him.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.